just after 10 o'clock on our day where we recognize veterans here on Sunday in the Country, because Veterans Day comes up tomorrow. We welcome in once again with Sporting a Cause, Willie Hallahan. Of course, sportingacause.com is the website you can go to find out anything that is sporting related, that is a fundraiser in the tri-state area. And that is sportingacause.com. And once again, let's bring in Willie. Willie, nice to speak to you again today.
Good morning, Marshall, and happy Veterans Day a little early to you.
Yeah, they're shooting up, and it's the Marines versus the Army up at the VFW at the gun club in Canaan. It's an event that's been going on for years. The Army's crushed it. They've won 52 of the events to 20 some for the Marines, by the way.
And I'm sure they brag about it too.
Oh, I'm sure they do. So we do have some events that are coming up, even though it's a bit nippy outside.
Yes, we do. Things are slowing down a tad, but there are still events going on. Even today, there are a couple of events people can take part in or go watch. After they hear us on the radio this morning, there's the annual 72nd year of the Tri-State Bowling Tournament going on up at the Cove in Great Barrington. This goes on for 3 weekends, both Saturday and Sunday of each weekend. And I don't fully understand how it works. It costs $150 to get into for a five-person team. And you can get eliminated and buy your way back in, so you're not necessarily out of it if you get eliminated. But all the details, you can go to my website, sportingacause.com, and I always give contact information for the person to talk to get all the details. But anyway, there are two flights, I guess you'd call them, today one at 11 and another at 3. And again, it goes on for the next 2 weekends after this. And, of course, the Northwest Connecticut Rod and Gun Club turkey shoot's going on. It goes on, I've said before, you can have more than one event going on there at the same time. You can have a turkey shoot, you can have some of these other events going on there. Their facilities are vast, and just gives you an idea of how vast they are, that they can hold multiple events. And one thing I've never talked about with the turkey shoots is that it's a very inexpensive tournament to get into. Like, they have 10 rounds where everybody shoots at a target, you know, once, that's one round, and then they do it again. It costs you $3 per round, and they give you the shell. So it's very cheap to have a great time if you're a target shooter. And that's going on at the registration starts at 10 right about now, but the shoot starts at 11, and this is the fourth weekend of 6, and it'll end the week before Thanksgiving. Now, tomorrow, on Veterans Day, the Valencia Veterans 14th Annual 5K Run takes place. They hold it at Glen Square on Church Street in Valencia. The race starts at 10. It sounds like a veterans event, and it is not. It's called the Veterans Race because it's held on Veterans Day, but the proceeds go to the Boy Scout troop in Valencia, Troop 2114. Moving on to Friday, that would be November 15th, the Project Playground New Hartford Adult Bunko Night. Now, I decided at the beginning when I first started my website that I would include bunko. I'm not sure why. I stretch the definition of sports sometimes, but bunko events always are raising money for good things. I know the Elks do it. Ladies Auxiliaries and fire companies do it to raise money for their organizations. So they're doing good work. And I haven't played bunko. I'm one of these nights when there's one nearby. I'm gonna go just because I've heard it's fun. There's a zero learning curve to it. It's very easy to learn. Everybody has a great time. And it's a reasonable price. It's $25 to get in. It takes care of you for the whole evening. And this one's being held at Torrington Country Club, a very beautiful facility. And the doors open at 6. Bunko begins at 7. And these folks are raising money. This is one of many events they'll be running, I'm sure. They're looking to raise $160,000 to upgrade two playgrounds, one at the Baker Field Elementary School and the New Hartford Elementary School, and I have no doubt they'll achieve it. They seem like a very dedicated group. Then on Saturday, the next day, November 16th, is the Hillacious Half, play on Hellacious, and I guess it is. It's a half marathon, which would make it 13.1 miles. It's held, at the American Legion Post 27 in Bantam. The Bantam Litchfield area is a huge running town, as I've talked about before. And this event is several years in now. Beth Murphy organizes it. She's quite the dedicated lady. She pretty much organizes the whole thing. And I guess it's by design an extremely rigorous course. And in fact, they even offer a relay element, which you don't often see in these events. It's a two-person relay. So if you don't think you can get it together to run the 13 miles yourself, you can team up with somebody else and make it a relay. And the proceeds from this event go to a local veteran and family in need. And last year they raised $4,000, so it's a successfully run event. And also, next weekend, they'll be on both the Saturday and Sunday, the 16th and 17th, would be the second weekend of the Cove Bowling Tournament we spoke of before. And also, next weekend will be week 5 of the Northwest Connecticut Rod and Gun Club Turkey Shoot. But also next Sunday, on the 17th, there's the Steep Rock Half Marathon, another half marathon, 13-mile, 0.1-mile race. And this is held at Steep Rock Preserve in Washington Depot. I guess they have several preserves, parks that are beautiful. The town has done a good job of preserving their wild areas. So I think they run through an old railroad tunnel through the mountain and stuff. I guess it's quite impressive. Anyway, the proceeds from this event go to three different organizations. There's the Steep Rock Association and both the Washington Ambulance and Fire Companies. So very worthwhile causes. And that's pretty much it for the week, Marshall. Looking forward, I know we're still a couple and a half weeks away from Thanksgiving. On Thanksgiving, there'll be four different turkey trot races. They tend to be early morning races so people can run, finish up, get their awards if there are any, and then head back home to enjoy a turkey dinner. And I have I saw this on the internet this morning. For the golfers who listen in, I have quite a few golf tournaments on my website, and of course the tournaments are all done, and golf is pretty much winding down now in general. But to give comfort to all of us hackers, there's an interesting thing happened. Ed Pepperell, he's a professional golfer, British, I believe, he got disqualified in a tournament over in Turkey because he ran out of golf balls. No one had ever heard of this before. I guess he had kind of a tin cup moment. He landed four or five balls into a water hazard, ran out of balls, and just walked off the course. Was disqualified. So I did a little research to see what the situation is with golf balls. Are they required to have so many or a set number? And it seems they're not. They could carry as many golf balls as they want. Nine balls seems to be the average because the caddy, of course, has to carry the bag with them. So they don't carry too many but not too few. But the problem is that although they can carry as many as they want, they have to use the same ball they start with, the same brand. So if a golfer tees off the first hole with his Titleist Pro V1, that's the only kind of ball he can use for the duration of the tournament. So someone can run out of balls, they can ask their playing partner to borrow one, and they could, but only if they have that exact same kind of ball. And I guess an incident happened. Nobody really has heard this before, but back in 2000 when Tiger Woods won the U.S. Open, he was down to his last ball. He didn't know it. His caddy did. And he won the U.S. Open, but if he had lost that last ball in the rough or something, he would have been out of luck. And apparently Tiger uses a ball that nobody else has. I get the I don't fully understand it, but I think it's like a prototype ball, or at least was back then. So if he had run out of balls, there is nobody else on the course that would have had the same ball he had. So anyway, for us hackers, gives us a little bit of comfort to know that even the pros can lose balls in abundance.
Well, you have to watch the movie. Remember that Kevin Costner was in?
Yeah, Tin Cup.
That happened in Tin Cup, where it's just, you can carry as many golf balls as you want, all the same. But when you run out of them, you're out of luck.
Yeah, and you could borrow one, but they have to have that same ball.
The exact same ball. That's exactly right. All right, now speaking about balls. No, I'm only kidding. I saw on Facebook the work never seems to cease for the Salisbury Winter Sports Association. See, I always say Salisbury Winter Sports Association because I was told by Mr. Sherwood you couldn't not to say SWASA.
That's right.
Because it sounded like the Third Reich.
Oh, he had admonished me once about that. So whenever I was in his presence, right. I'd always say Salisbury Winter Sports Association.
But I see that once again more work is being done on that hill for the junior jumpers.
Yes, we're burying pipe for snowmaking. We put up a new snow gun. It's not brand new. It's a used one. Kenny Barker and some people from Mohawk Ski Area drove down to West Virginia a few weeks ago. There's a skiing resort down there that had gone bankrupt, and he was able to purchase at a very good price a snow gun that we needed. We have two snow guns. They're small units, they're very mobile, which is big advantage to us. One man could move one around, but this is one that's mounted and it can produce from a central location all the snow we need. And we're reaching this. A lot of what we're doing is to improve our facilities for sure, but a lot of it we're keeping in mind the fact that we're all getting older, and whatever manual labor we can save works to our advantage. So yeah, we're doing a lot. Before this winter starts, before the ski jumping season starts, our 20-meter, our little baby hill, will have steel rails on the in-run. That's where they come down the ramp so that we don't need to snow it. And this year, the landing hill will have snow on it, but in the next year or so, we will make that 20-meter hill completely year-round. So we can have tournaments in the summertime. Kids from Lake Placid, where they jump year-round, can come down here. They can come from all over to compete in the summertime. It's not just, I guess, climate change is something we have to consider, certainly. But the notion of allowing kids to jump year-round just to keep their training going is a consideration. And after we do all of this, then we've got our 30-meter tower to rebuild. That's the middle-sized jump. So we've got stuff going on all the time. It's expensive, and we do stuff when we have the money. And we're blessed with generous patrons and townsfolk, and we do what we can when we have the money. But you're right. There's a lot going on over there, and people can go over there and look. You know, I mean, you can if you've never been over the ski jump, or maybe you've been to the Jump Fest and never go near the place any other time, you can drive in and look around. It's kind of a neat facility.
All right, and one final thing: if you're a true avid golfer, you'll know this. The name Winding Brook Country Club.
Yes.
It is up in Valencia, New York. They are open year-round. I years ago, one winter when we didn't get a lot of snow, but it was bitter cold, went up there. There's golfers that go up there year-round, and it turns an average golfer into a behemoth driver because all you have to do is, in a January morning when there's no snow and the course is frozen, everybody can hit a 400-yard.
That's right. Yeah, you drive at 100 yards and it rolls for three. Yeah, I went to a friend of mine, but one year, it was quite a few years back, it was early March, and it was just a beautiful day. We had a minor thaw, and there wasn't any snow on the ground. And said, let's go over there and try it out. Went over there, and there's about an hour and a half wait to tee off the first tee. The carts were backed up into the parking lot. So everybody knows it. The golf course, it never closes.
And one thing you got to know, everybody drives 400 to 500 yards if they want to. But the real trick is getting that ball into the green and staying.
Yeah, right.
All right, Willie, I'll check with you next week.
Okay, Marshall, thanks for having me on.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Willie Hallahan, Sporting Across here on Robin Hood Radio.